Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live tonight via our YouTube channel and all our social media outlets, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I am your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg. Dave Manuk joins us from the arena where the Winnipeg Jets dropped a 3-1 decision tonight to the Toronto Maple Leafs, a golden opportunity for the Winnipeg Jets to move into first place in the North Division, went for naught as they were unable to muster much tonight, as sort of looked like they were playing in slow motion. Both teams didn't appear to be especially quick. The only thing quick about tonight's game was the actual length of time it took from about 2.5 hours from puck drop to final buzzer. Gentlemen, good to see you. Ezri's there in his basement. Dave is at the arena, as I mentioned. Nice to see you both on this Wednesday evening.
Boys, am I bad luck? Because I missed the last game and the Jets won. And the last game that I was on between the Jets and the Flames won the game. So I'm starting to think that I'm bad luck.
I'm okay with that assessment. I really don't have a problem if, from now on, not that we have a rooting interest or really care who wins the game, but I'm willing just, if this is a way of getting rid of you, I'm all about that. I'm okay with that, Dave.
Sounds to me like someone's trying to work his way out of a post-game show, if you know what I'm saying.
He's looking for
just doesn't want to pass up any opportunity to throw me under the bus. But no, boys, I'm back. Okay. I just needed to take a night off. It was a busy week last week. We had 4 games. So, I have things to do and people to see. So, I had to, have a little me time.
Yeah, you have absolutely no one to see or nothing to do. But aside from that, you're more than
absolutely
nothing. Your me time. Yeah, absolutely nothing is right. A game that was dull. I mean, the Winnipeg Jets just certainly did not look sharp tonight. At no point in time were they crisp. They looked a step slow from the faceoff. And somebody smarter than me is one day going to have to sort of figure out why, and it's not just a Jets thing, why all these teams, when they come back home after a long road trip, always sort of look sluggish in that first game back. So, if there's somebody working on their dissertation or a PhD candidate that needs a topic, to do with something to do with sports, there you go. Feel free to dive into that one, because the Winnipeg Jets today, just, nothing about their game was crisp, especially coming off the game that we saw on Monday night in Calgary.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the second period was pretty good, though. That was completely dominated by the Jets. But yeah, the first period was obviously not very good. And, oftentimes, like you mentioned, Drew, when you're coming off that long road trip, if you give up a couple goals in the first period, especially against a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, and, you're looking at this game and you're thinking, okay, Freddie Anderson's not in the net. But as we know, I mean, Jack Campbell, guys, came into the game with a .945 save percentage. And
Jack Campbell's a better goalie than Freddie Anderson.
Well, I mean, he hasn't lost a game this year, right? And, you know, Campbell's had his own injuries here. And there's talk that, maybe if Freddie Anderson's injury is more serious than, was originally thought, the Leafs might have to, go after another goaltender. Right now they've got Michael Hutchinson who's filling in, but obviously they're hoping to get Freddie Anderson back. But, back to this game, boys, like, I just thought, as you said, Drew, I mean, the Jets were just not as quick as they were in the last game against the Calgary Flames. That was a game in which the Jets were clearly the faster and more talented team. And, we mentioned the middle frame in which the Jets had their push. And obviously the Alex Kerfoot goal, guys, in the second period, that's a killer. I mean, when you have the opportunity to have a 4-minute power play and, possibly, tie the game up, that's just an absolute killer of a goal to give up. And obviously, Josh Morrissey's trying to keep the puck in, and Ilya Mikheyev makes a nice, pass up to Kerfoot, who we know has good speed. So give Kerfoot a lot of credit. And, Josh Morrissey, to his credit, comes back and kind of makes up for that by scoring the goal with the nice screen from Paul Stastny, right, Dave? But it was just one of those games where, I thought they were giving up too many odd man rushes, right? Like Alex Galchenyuk, if you guys remember, he had that odd man rush. And then obviously Perreault took the penalty on Galchenyuk. Zach Hyman had the, shorthanded chance, in the first period. So, overall, it definitely was not one of those crisp games from the Jets, but they were in it. I mean, they had a chance, you know, going into that third period when you're down two goals and you have the type of team that the Jets have with or without Wheeler. It's not like, you know, this game was over. They just, you know, weren't able to muster up enough high danger chances. And, you know, when you talk about high danger chances, when you have no high danger chances and Zach Hyman has as many shots as your entire team in the first period, usually you're not going to win a lot of games with that, Dave.
Yeah, there's no question, Ezzy. I mean, 10-0 in high danger chances after the first period. Some folks were saying that the Jets were entitled to have one or two, but the reality is, even if you did, it doesn't really make a difference, right? You're still well outchanced by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And look, Drew, it's a good question. You know, it's something we've talked about forever, really. Teams always say it. After a big, long road trip, they come back home, and it's always you're trying to guard against a letdown game, but inevitably there is that letdown game. I don't know what, to your point, I don't know what it is. And it's funny because people were saying, if you know it's going to happen, how do you prevent it? Like, how do you avoid that situation occurring? And it's a good question because it seems like inevitable. And people can say it's an excuse, but it just seems like a pattern with a lot of teams. So I don't have a reason for it, but it just, to Ezzy's point, he's right. That was not an inspiring game by any stretch of the imagination. The Jets played better in the second period. Kerfoot shorthanded goal is an absolute killer. I mean, it destroys. You're only down. I mean, it's funny because the Leafs deserve the win, or the lead, I should say, after the first period. But you're only down by two goals, and you have a team that can score. So while you are down, you know, there's opportunity to get back in it, and to give up a shorthanded goal, especially in a period where you were playing well, is an absolute killer.
You know, you give up that shorthanded goal, as you mentioned, Dave. I mean, the Jets had six consecutive minutes of power play, and all they have to show for it is the one power play goal versus the one shorthanded goal against. So the Leafs will obviously take that any day of the week because it's an even, you know, it's an even playing field for both teams when the Jets have had this huge man advantage. The first period you speak about, it's 2-0 for the Leafs after 20 minutes. You know, but it could have been a lot worse. Think about it. The Leafs had, what, three power plays in that first period to the Jets? None, all legitimate power plays. I'm not criticizing the officiating with that comment. And the Jets so happen to be catching the Leafs right now at a time when their power play is struggling. Because if this is a Leafs power play that is typically clicking, well, they're probably going to score on one of those goals. Instead, it's 2-0 after 20 minutes. The Jets have played probably their worst period of the entire season. That's what Elliot Friedman, you know, was saying on the broadcast, saying that, you know, he hasn't seen the Jets play a less inspired period than that first period all season long. I would agree with him. It was pretty terrible what the Jets looked like in that first period. 10-0 is the high danger chances. The entire rest of the game, there were 10 high danger chances combined. So this was a dull hockey game between two teams that, for whatever reason, looked like they were skating in quicksand. It's not like the Leafs were better than the Jets, but this wasn't the crisp Toronto Maple Leafs team. They didn't look like they were that, you know, fast or as fast as they usually are. So both teams, for whatever reason, this was one of those slogs of a game, and the Leafs get credit for being better in the first period, being dominant in the first period, and as a result, they take a well-deserved 3-1 victory and extend their lead in the North Division to 3 points, Ezzy.
Yeah, but these types of, exactly, it was a 4-point game. We knew there was a chance that, you know, this was going to, you know, be one of those games where if you don't win, then you're in a position where all you can do is, you know, make yourselves, you know, within 1 point of the Leafs. But, you know, when you talk about, this was definitely a low event game. There's no doubt about it. But these are the types of games that are going to happen throughout the course of the year, guys. And if you think about it, the Jets have done that to other teams. The Jets did that to the Leafs during that, you know, three-game homestand for the Leafs, the three-game series, I should say, you know, between the Jets and the Leafs, right? Like, they get outchanced, you know, they get the good goaltending. It's kind of boring. You know, they basically score two or three goals in a period, and that's all they need. So for the Leafs, like, they'll take that. Like, to me, that was like a perfect road game if you're the Leafs, right? Like, you do most of your damage in the first period. And obviously, you know, Dubois and Forbert, that's just a unfortunate situation. They collide, and you know, obviously Austin Matthews is going to capitalize on that. And then obviously, you know, that line, 6 points with Hyman and Marner, that line was just much better than what the Jets had to offer. But I mean, the Leafs, you got to give them credit, right? Like, they know that it's the Jets and the Oilers that can catch them. No other team's going to catch them. Montreal's too far back to catch them. And you know, the Jets didn't have an answer. And you're right, Drew, when you have, you know, 6 minutes of power play time, you got to have more to show for that. And not only did they, you know, not capitalize on that first power play, it was Jake Muzzin, if I'm not mistaken, for slashing on that first play. Obviously, you're missing Blake Wheeler. Blake Wheeler's out there usually on your first power play unit. But you have a lot of skilled players, and you know, give Mark Scheifele a lot of credit. I think I saw he was around 5 minutes and 30 seconds of power play time. And even in that third period, Dave, you know, Scheifele found Trevor Lewis right in front. Austin Matthews got a piece of it. You know, shortly after that, Mark Scheifele found Kyle Connor right in front of the net. Kyle Connor misses the net, right? So, like, Scheifele was really good. I thought Nick Ehlers was really good. You know, it's not like, you know, the Jets' top line, you know, didn't, you know, impress or anything like that. It was just, you know, kind of too little, too late. They were just playing catch up the whole game.
Well, you know, what struck me, Dave, you know, during that power play, so the shorthanded goal, you know, you can see that Josh Morrissey is trying to be aggressive at the blue line. He's trying to keep the puck in. It's a bouncing puck. He's doing everything in his power to maintain zone for the Winnipeg Jets. And sure, it ends up poor with Alex Kerfoot getting the breakaway and the goal. But to me, what the biggest problem there is, where's the support from his teammates? There's no puck support for the Winnipeg Jets. The puck support by the Jets almost all game long was lacking. You know, especially on the power play, you know, a number of times after the Jets scored. So after Morrissey gets the goal and it's 3-1 and the Jets still have that 2 minute power play opportunity as Brody is finishing off the second half of the double minor. You know, there were times where, you know, puck battles on the boards, the Jets just seem to lose almost every puck battle all game long. Especially, you know, in a man advantage situation, in a power play situation, you know, you shouldn't be losing those puck battles. And that's just what I thought the Jets were emblematic, I think, of the kind of game it was for the Winnipeg Jets, where they didn't win puck battles that they should win. You know, they're trying their damnedest to you know, keep a puck in the zone, and there's no support from his teammates who would see that he's potentially in a vulnerable position if that bouncing puck goes the way it went. To me, just not crisp for the Winnipeg Jets. Not the attention to detail was lacking compared, Dave, to what we normally see from this team, or what we had seen from this team, particularly against the weaker Canucks and Flames.
Well, I mean, 9 games against non-playoff teams. Now you're playing playoff teams, right? Or whatever the number was. I think, sorry, it was 7 straight against non-playoff teams, right? But the point is that this is a different animal. This is a Toronto team that can make you pay, and they did in that first period. And you know, when you don't have it, whatever it is, and the Jets didn't have it, then you're going to get burnt. And that's what happened tonight. And really, look, losing Blake Wheeler, and we're not really certain why they lost Blake Wheeler. I mean, the last we saw him was with 2 minutes and 25 seconds left in the first period.
Yeah.
He got the high stick. Other than that, I didn't really see anything that was any sort of indication as to what.
So what you couldn't see on the broadcast is they did show, you know, after the high stick, they showed he was reaching for a puck alongside the boards, and you could sort of see on his face that he grimaced. So, I mean, speculative, is it something, you know, groin, or is it something in the oblique area? And I don't want to speculate because I don't know. It certainly did. There wasn't anything that looked, you know, immediate, but you could sort of see that something was you know, askew when he went to reach for the puck, and that was the last shift he took. So the credit to the Sportsnet folks for pinpointing that on the broadcast and showing it to those of us at home who saw that. Now, of course, that's a big question mark for the Winnipeg Jets now, you know, with Blake Wheeler out, and obviously, you know, I don't think they're skating tomorrow, but I can't even keep track anymore.
Well, I mean, as of right now, they're scheduled to practice.
Okay, so there you go. So we will see tomorrow, you know,
provided we don't get an update from Paul Maurice.
You know, boys, you know, I was just going to say, Drew, like, you would think that they would keep that practice because of the lack of practice at times on that road trip, right? Like, you had a lot of days off, and deservedly so, right? Like, you had, you know, a lot of games on that road trip, but I would think that they're going to keep that practice time. But to your point, Drew, I mean, we saw a lot of people playing, you know, on that line with Dubois and Stastny, right? You saw Mason Appleton up there, Dave. You saw, you know, Andrew Kopp up there. I mean, I think the logical choice would probably be Andrew Kopp. If I'm not mistaken, I think Matthew Perreault got a turn. I mean, there was a lot of changing because, you know, you had
11 forwards. You got a cycle.
Well, and also with the power plays, right, Drew? Because Mark Scheifele was out there for so much. I'm pretty sure he was out there for at least 3 minutes of that double minor So, you know, I think, you know, Paul Maurice was, you know, just trying to find, you know, the right, you know, mixture in that blender of his, right? But, you know, get Dave in here, but I would assume, you know, Andrew Kopp, there's a good chance, you know, he gets a turn on that line, maybe Mason Appleton. I mean, we don't know. Wheeler might be ready to go for Friday night's game, but, you know, if I had to guess, it would probably be, you know, Kopp up on that wing.
Well, to your point there, Dave, about, you know, practice tomorrow and the Jets will probably keep the practice, you know, so much Paul Maurice has said that he doesn't want to just throw somebody into the lineup. This will maybe give him an opportunity to get Jansen Harkins or, I mean, I'm going to assume it's going to be Jansen Harkins if Blake Wheeler's not able to go. Give him that opportunity to practice with his new line mates, whomever they may be, and get him an opportunity to get a skate, you know, underneath him if he then has to join the lineup on Friday for the Winnipeg Jets. And this is all speculative at this point in time. So who knows, maybe Blake Wheeler's back healthy, because, I mean, the last time Blake Wheeler missed a game came when he was a healthy scratch, I think, in game 82 a couple of years ago after the Jets had already clinched a playoff spot.
Yeah,
so Blake Wheeler and injury does not go together.
No, he rarely misses a game, as you mentioned, Drew. And you wonder if, you know, this injury is related to what he might have been, you know, dealing with earlier in the season, right? Our buddy Ken Weeb, Mike McIntyre, like, it was never, you know, officially reported what the injury was, obviously, because we didn't find out from the Jets. You're not going to find that out. But you wonder, and to Dave's point, I mean, Dave's at the arena, you know, it didn't look like, you know, the high stick on Wheeler, you know, was the reason why he left the game. So if you wonder, you know, whether, you know, it's a lower body, upper body, whatever, you know, you wonder if that was something that was tweaked, something that he was dealing with, you know, back in mid-January, late January. But again, you're right, Drew. There's no reason to speculate.
Well, and the only thing I was going to say, Drew, to your point, was that that healthy scratch was worth noting. It's for to make him keep him healthy, obviously, not a sense that he was being I was going to say, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, look, whenever you lose your captain and you lose a player, it throws off the way the lines were. But the truth is, the Jets' second period was probably their best period of the game. And you know, they did have some power play time, so that definitely helps, obviously. But again, it just didn't seem like this team had it going on, right? Like that first, the Dubois play at the line where you're watching this situation kind of take place and you're thinking to yourself, It was like watching Keystone Cops. Like, they kept bumping into each other, and you have an opportunity to get that puck out, and you don't. And again, when Austin Matthews is swirling around, mm-hmm. he's going to make you pay. Mitch Marner, like Zach Hyman, these guys, they have a very good team in Toronto. People can say whatever they want. They might not like it, but I mean, look, they're the best team right now in the North Division. So if you're going to make mistakes, they're going to make you pay, and they did, and that's what happened. So they capitalized on the Jets' errors and ended up getting the benefit of that.
That's yeah, right. Go ahead, Drew.
I was going to say, hold your thought. Paul Maurice is at the dais, so let's bring in the Winnipeg Jets head coach.
Well, not much. We'll get it looked at tomorrow and have something for you in a couple days.
We'll go next to Sean Reynolds from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Paul. That's a half much. We'll look at that in your time here. But what changes on the bench when you lose a guy like Blake Wheeler not out there for you?
Well, for tonight, it was, you know, it was such an important part to the team, but we actually had a pretty good second period. I think we managed that right. The power play, clearly, you lose an elite setup guy, so that changes. We've been fortunate up to this point in the year and haven't had to deal with a lot of injuries, so it's not something that we haven't dealt with in the past. We'll deal with it.
We'll go next to Scott Delick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul, sorry if you answered this because I'm having a tough time hearing you.
Okay.
It was just, you didn't feel connected tonight. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, you know what? I was worried about this one right from the day the schedule came out. And it looked like it in the first. I actually really liked our second. I thought, you know, they got a bunch of shots on their power play in the first 6 minutes. We got 6 minutes, I think, in the second, didn't get it to go for us, give up the goal. That one really hurt, right? And but you're thinking they can get out of it, right? You think that after the first time we look good in the second, but you could see signs that we're having a hard time getting a handle on some pucks and just behind it a little bit. And it was a bit of a sloppy game for maybe both teams in terms of execution. They're having a hard time getting a handle on that puck. Anyway, it there was nothing in that game that made me feel we were but we weren't as good as we've been.
Right next to Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. But Mike,
Paul, just two sort of quick ones for you regarding Blake. He took that high stick, I think about three and a bit left through the belly. Is what happened to him related to that, or was it something else?
Yeah, I don't know is the answer, to be 100% sure. It wasn't off the high stick. I don't think there was just wasn't feeling right, so we wanted to be careful with it.
We'll go next to Sarah Leski from TSN. Go ahead, Sarah.
So just without having Blake there and obviously having to adjust your lines, how did you approach the third period in particular? We just saw so many different teams, but they're just trying to and keep guys fresh out there
with
whoever you felt was going?
Yeah. I think keeping fresh guys was probably priority one. I mean, we obviously ran Mark a lot harder. He was feeling like he had good legs in that game. Position mattered a little bit tonight, right? We lose a right winger, and we got a lot of left-handed guys, and we got guys that aren't used to playing the right side. Some scores on the ice. That was it. Yeah, I don't know. I'm back on the ice full on next game. So just, it's not COVID related. We just wanted to be careful tonight, and he may be back and never miss a shift again. So it's wide open right now.
And final question to Jason Bell from the Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Paul, I've got a few questions that it's going to be hard for you to answer. I'm just wondering, since the end of the game, has there been any indication at all early on that what's happening in Vancouver
is now going to affect any game? Yeah. So the answer is no to that. I asked Kevin after the game and situations evolves, and I don't think the question kind of overnight either if it affects games. I don't have an answer for you, and I don't think anybody does right now.
Thanks very much. So curious.
Head coach Paul Maurice, so not in the win.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club. Bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile.
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go,
we have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard.
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk at the arena, Ezra Ginsberg in his basement. That was Winnipeg Jets head coach Paul Maurice. Short and sweet, as it often is after the Winnipeg Jets are defeated. I guess the main takeaway from Paul Maurice there is that Blake Wheeler is going to get looked at. No idea yet as to the severity of the injury. It's not COVID-related, which is, I think is important to note, given what happened in Vancouver earlier today with the Canucks game against the Flames, which was set to get underway right about now. That game has been postponed due to COVID issues with the Vancouver Canucks. Don't, of course, know what the status, what that means for the Jets games on Sunday and Tuesday, because the Canucks are in town to face the Jets after the this two-game series against the Leafs wraps up. So I guess let's hear talk about what Paul Maurice said there. Just sort of said that from the beginning of the season, he said that this is a game he was worried about, which I think goes to the, you know, there's some credence to the idea of these games back at home after a long road trip are really hard for players to get up for.
I'm not sure if you're worried about it because it's Toronto or you're worried about it because it's the first game after a seven-game road trip. I think it's the latter. But I think that's not a good thing. If you're already worried and scared, I mean, I just don't think that that's the right approach. I'm not saying that, you know, Paul Maurice is wrong in his approach. I just don't know why at the beginning of a season, it's almost like, in a way, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? And so I don't know why you would be that worried. You know, it's not like... it was the second game of a back-to-back, Drew. So that's all I'm saying. I don't know why he was so worried. I get it. I mean, we talked about it. I mean, it's not just the Jets. A lot of teams deal with this, guys, across the league. When you have a long road trip, you know, oftentimes you can come out a little bit flat. But, I mean, that's the coach's job to make sure, not just Paul Maurice, it's the entire coaching staff. It's up to the players to have themselves ready. So I found that to be a little bit bizarre, but... You know, back to Blake Wheeler, I mean, it would be weird if he played a period of hockey and there was any suspicion of him having COVID. So I'm not sure why anybody would think it was COVID-related just because of the day and age.
Everything's COVID-related nowadays.
Well, yeah, and obviously, you know, Jordy Benn, had COVID earlier for the Canucks, and it was Adam Gaudette who tested positive for the Canucks. And there's also now, according to Elliot Friedman, a member of the coaching staff for the Canucks. So you're right, Drew. I mean, there's a possibility.
And another player, is it?
Right. So there's two players and a coach. Yeah. Right. You're right, Drew. So, I mean, there's a chance that these two games at home for the Jets against the Canucks don't happen. And, I mean, Paul Maurice and the coaching staff would love to have that extra practice time, I bet. But you wonder, you know, what's going to happen there. But, you know, I'm not that surprised at all with anything Paul Maurice said. I mean, he was asked about, you know, the way they played. And if you were watching that first period, the eye test and the analytics are going to match up, boys. I mean, the Jets just, you know, weren't very good. It wasn't, you know, until later in that first period that they, you know, started to come on. But, you know, this is one of these games where you're going to have to find a way to shut down Matthews, Marner, and Hyman, Dave, because they were all over the Jets, not just in that first period, but, you know, throughout the game. And, you know, Adam Lowry's line was the line that was often matched up against the Matthews line, and Matthews' line badly outplayed them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree with you. And I think that's what the takeaway was from this game, is the Jets just didn't have the jump. And again, why that is, don't have an answer for you. I mean, it's not, I'm not making excuses for them. I think that they should have been ready to go. But I mean, it just seems to be a reality when you talk to a coach that after a long road trip, there's always that first game is always lit up. I don't know. I don't know why it is. But I mean, like I said, I've talked to enough coaches, pro hockey coaches, I should say, that would tell you that this is just kind of a reality of the situation. I'm not making an excuse for it. I mean, they lost the game. I thought they deserved to lose the game. I didn't think they had what it took to win the game. Should they have been ready? Should they have been better prepared? Maybe. But I mean, again, like I said, they came out.
They didn't. It's not a Winnipeg thing, to your point, Dave. It's almost a universal hockey thing.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I know that. Look, I've had my quibbles with Paul Maurice, and I still continue to have my quibbles with Paul Maurice. But you can't. You know, if you're going to kill Paul Maurice for the team being flat to start tonight, well, you've got to probably kill another 31 NHL coaches around the league who always have these sort of instances.
But look, at the end of the day, like that it just wasn't the Jets game. I mean, it just didn't seem like anybody from the team was really giving her, right? Yeah. And really, aside from, you know, Connor Hellebuck, he played all right. But again, it was one of those games I'm sitting here, I'm in the building, right? And I'm watching this game and I'm thinking to myself, like, this isn't a team that we've traditionally seen. Now, we haven't seen them a lot, you know, other than when on TV. But again, like I said, I was watching this and I just didn't feel that this was a game that it wasn't representative of the game that we saw against the Flames. And again, Toronto's a better team than Calgary. So you're not going to play the same game against Toronto that you did against Calgary. I mean, you'd hope you did, could. But I didn't anticipate that the Jets were going to be able to dictate the way that they were hoping to and the way they did against the Calgary Flames.
Yeah, and that's a good point. You know, just wanted to say quickly, Drew, here, you know, like that was something that I thought that the Leafs were doing a lot on the Jets. And, you know, we talked about Scheifele and, you know, he played over 23 minutes and, you know, he played almost 6 minutes on the power play. And, you know, he actually had one of the best Corsis. I think it was just under 72, which is incredible, right, guys? If you think about it, because, you know, Wheeler goes out, you know, and then Scheifele's double shifting. He's out there on the power play and he has, you know, one of his better games. And obviously, you know, Dave mentioned the game against the Flames and Scheifele, Ehlers, and Connor were fantastic. I mean, you know, that line right now is looking like a top line in the NHL. So I agree. I mean, obviously, you know, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Paul Stastny, like I thought it was really telling, guys, late. If you remember, I think there was a minute and a half or something like that, you know, 2 minutes left in the game. You know, Scheifele had a chance to the right of Jack Campbell and he hit Pierre-Luc Dubois in front of the net with the shot. You remember that, Dave? I mean, it was one of those games where, you know, the bounces weren't going their way. And I really think, even though, as you mentioned, Drew, the Jets were really flat and quite frankly, they were awful in the first period. Their response in the second period and the way they kept pushing in the third period, I think, you know, should be promising for Jets fans going into that game on Friday. And, you know, back to what Dave was saying about, you know, how different this game was compared to the game against the Flame. Look at the Leafs were, you know, 1 point up on the Jets going into this game. They know the Jets are in their rearview mirror. They took 5 of 6 points, you know, back in Toronto. So I think, you know, this game was just as important to them as it was, you know, to the Jets. These two teams, as we talked about, are going to be battling it out for top spot in the North Division. And when I look at that depth, you've got two former first overall picks on your third line in Joe Thornton and Jason Spezza. Like, those guys, they might be old, but they looked good. They really did, especially Spezza.
Spezza was good tonight. I didn't notice Joe Thornton at all.
Aside from him on the power play, I thought he didn't seem extremely noticeable. I thought Spezza was noticeable.
Yeah, if you want to power rank the old Leafs guys as to who I noticed the most, Spezza, especially on the draw, probably Simmons. I thought Simmons was at least noticeable. Thornton to me was, you know, relatively invisible. But, you know, the point is that to your point, Ezzy, the Leafs are a good hockey team. And sort of
I meant more so as a line. Like, yes.
Yeah,
just,
yeah, sure.
I just checked the Corsi. Of course, Joe Thornton had the third worst Corsi at 37. But Jason Spezza. Well, and the thing with Spezza is he's killing penalties, right? And he did a nice job with Zach Hyman out there, you know, on the number one PK unit.
Why is Zach Hyman going to make a lot of money this offseason?
Well, you almost wonder, like, you know, the only reason why he'll leave is just because the Leafs can't afford him, right? Like, we know the Leafs have all of their money tied up in, you know, Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares, right, Dave? But Zach Hyman, you know, we were kind of joking, you know, he might, you know, be the best Jewish player of all time. He's certainly up there. And it's not just him being Jewish. The guy just, you know, works his ass off. Like, he's just a great hockey player. And kind of funny, this doesn't get talked about enough, but Dave would know this. He played with Andrew Kopp for a couple years with the University of Michigan. So Hyman is not a guy that, you know, just came out of nowhere. This is a guy that had a really good career, you know, with Michigan and NCAA, and he's had back-to-back 20-goal seasons. So nobody should be surprised, you know, that Hyman had a great game.
Dave, well, did you just put a hat on?
I put a toque on, you know. I had a request. You know, Don Soler said, is not wearing a hat? And I'm looking around the press box. I don't think anybody's even here anymore. But our boy Scott Billick is back.
Take that mask off, Dave. You're good. Brothers. You can distance now. You're good.
I won't take the mask off. You know, Ty and a few others made a comment about the idea of putting guys in, you know, injecting guys into the from the taxi squad to get this guy, to give the Jets a bit of a jump. I mean, and again, we've talked about the taxi squad being a resource, and we haven't seen it here in Winnipeg. There's Scott Belk right there. But so it's a resource that the Jets have, and they haven't availed themselves of it. And again, Paul Maurice is, you might look, we've talked about this idea of in a back-to-back, would you put a guy in who's got legs? We would think yes. You know, in a game like where, you know, you're expecting a bit of a let up from your team, even though it's been playing okay, do you want to inject the new guy in? I mean, like Joe from Winnipeg is saying right now, inject Harkins. We would agree with you, but the problem is we don't make those decisions ultimately at the end of the day. It's the coaching staff who has to make those decisions. And Paul Maurice has been clear. He says, I'm not changing up my lines, simply, and Drew's made this point, without having had a practice, without having given these guys this opportunity to really kind of have some cohesiveness as a line, you know, wherever that new player is going to get injected. And, you know, in theory, if the Jets were healthy, it would likely be on that fourth line. So to me, while it sounds good, and while people will agree with that comment, the truth is that at the end of the day, the coaching staff doesn't agree with it because they won't do it.
And Drew mentioned this, you know, I just wanted to say this, Drew, like you mentioned, because they're going to have the practice, if Wheeler isn't able to go, right? Like that's the big if. We don't know that right now, guys, right?
I would be surprised. You would
have to think it's Harkins. And if Kopp moves up as we think he would, then, you know, I would imagine Perreault probably moves up to the third line, and then Harkins goes on that fourth line with, you know, Nate Thompson and Trevor Lewis, right? That's kind of the smart bet, even though I'm not exactly the smartest guy. But, you know, that's probably what's going to happen here, guys. And, you know, there's always the chance, you know, that you see, you know, different line combinations. But, yeah, you know, Jansen Harkins hasn't played in over a month, but he is the next man up, as they say, right?
Well, you know, something tells me, I wouldn't be surprised if it's not Andrew Kopp. And the only reason, do I think it should be Andrew Kopp? Yes, I do. The only thing that makes me think that it might not be is just how reliant and how, you know, and how much affection Paul Maurice has for the Kopp, Lowry, Appleton line and his ability to deploy them in as many different possibilities as possible. I wouldn't be shocked if it's Matthew Perreault who moves up. And if it's Harkins who moves in on that fourth line and they go Lewis, Thompson, Harkins. Now, that wouldn't be how I would do it. I would give it to Andrew Kopp to simply reward, you know, one, I think he's the best option. And two, I would reward him for, you know, he's having a great season. But something tells me, and I could be totally off on this, and if I'm wrong, by all means, beak me in the comments come Friday or tweet at me and tell me that I'm a moron. You'll probably be doing that anyways.
I don't think
Ezzy and I will be.
Yeah, I don't think
you're off at all. I think I think you're talking about, you know, second line again. We're talking here. I think it's Andrew Kopp, Matty Perreault, or Mason Appleton. It's one of those three.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those three. You know, I just, you know, it's hard to believe that Paul Maurice is going to move Jansen Harkins anywhere other than that fourth line to, you know, coming into the game.
Actually, it's funny, Drew. I'm not so sure I agree, though, because he does like his fourth line and he likes the way they play. And he knows that Jansen Harkins can fit pretty seamlessly. If you want to take out a Kopp or a Appleton, Jansen Harkins could fit into your third line without really a difficulty, I don't think. So, and, you know, we saw him play on the second line, really, in some instances last year. So, and have some chemistry action with Blake Wheeler, who he would, in theory, be coming in for. So I wouldn't especially expect him to go up on the first or second lines. But I could see very easily Paul Maurice wanting to make a minimal change, move Kopp, Appleton, one of those two, up to the second line or first line, whatever the hell we're calling it nowadays. Yeah. And you have Jansen Harkins come in and play on that third line, kind of leave the fourth line the way it is. Cause Paul Maurice has been praising that fourth line or again, that's kind of the nice thing about this team is that you can move a Matthew Perreault very easily.
Well, I think Paul Maurice is going to default to whichever option results in the fewest other changes. So I think he's going to whatever decision he's going to make, I think he's going to try and make it so that it reduces the sort of the domino effect, the butterfly effect of the roster shuffle. And this is all assuming, of course, that Blake Wheeler's not healthy in time by Friday, which we certainly don't know that to be the case.
So Drew, if you're taking Matty Perreault on the second line, I'm taking Andrew Kopp on the second line, and Dave is taking Mason Appleton, what's the winner going to get here?
Time away from one another, that would be a pretty big win as far as I'm concerned. I don't really know, Izzy. Well, what could we possibly auction? The winner gets to shave you. I mean, you know,
that seems like a loss
for a lot of us. You know, really,
I just want food. Like, I just want either a burger, some pizza, licorice, anything.
Hold on. More importantly than whatever Izzy wants, what do we want right now? I know what we want, Drew.
We want people to smash that subscribe button and smash the like button. Do it, folks, right now. There's a lot of you in this chat at the moment. And the only way to make this chat worthwhile, in addition to the great conversation that you're listening to and the great conversation that's happening, is to smash that like button, smash the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. You can also, of course, subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already done so, because this post-game show, in case you miss any of it, it'll be available in podcast form and very shortly thereafter this evening.
And you know what? You can do us a favor also by leaving a comment on the podcast. That also helps. So if you have
a positive comment, just
well, whatever. No, we're not going to color it that way. People can do whatever they want. If they don't like us, preferably, most likely our host. But if you don't like us, or if you do like us, preferably, then you'll leave a comment on the Apple iTunes. That always helps as well.
There you go. Exactly.
Do I look like that much like Galifianakis? Like, yes. I realize yes. there's a yes. little bit of a similar. Yes. Okay, so let's get some comments on that then.
Well, I just can't believe that Nio, your wife, your lovely wife, who is obviously a wonderful person who's made one terrible decision in her life. why she hasn't even like demanded that you just clean it up a little bit. That's the part to me that is.
Oh no, she's demanded. She has demanded. Oh. She's offered to do it herself. And I just want to mention as well, because I know it was Sparky, and I know that Alan. There's a bunch of other regular.
You're getting Hagrid from. You're getting some Hagrid.
Yeah. Yeah. You got North End Rick. Shout out to North End Rick. I'll be in the North End soon, picking up my aunt's pierogies, North End Rick. But I did go as Alan from The Hangover once to a Halloween wedding social.
Yeah, so, you also went as Gary Lawless on Halloween once. So, I mean, your track record of Halloween costumes isn't anything to write home about.
The other thing we have to do is we have to give a big shout-out to Sandy, because I'm pretty sure Sandy...
Yeah, shout-out to Sandy.
I got a very nice email today from a viewer who told us that they, in their apartment building, saw a promotion for the Illegal Curve Rock Show and a bunch of other the shows that have gone... To YouTube and various platforms.
Sandy, the check is in the mail. It's going to be there.
And Sandy was the person. It turns out Sandy left the comment. And oh, hold on, we got a Scott Billick showing. I think Scott's showing up. Scott Billick in the Scott Billick is in the house.
There he is.
That's Scott, a microphone. Come on, we need some analysis here.
Scott, did you bring any mustard? That's the biggest question.
No.
No mustard.
I'm well hydrated tonight.
Anyway, so no, but I mean,
we just got Billicked, I think, Dave.
Oh, there's Sandy right there. Yeah, that was a Billick bomb right there. But there's Sandy, and we really appreciate it. That was really great to see, and it was kind of cool that she told us that it was her who put up, and not only in one level of the of her apartment building, but of four. So it's really again, we have to tell you, everyone that's in this chat, we really are appreciative of everybody's support, and we love this community that's really formed here. In post-game shows on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturdays, and on obviously on illegalcurve.com.
Amen.
Well
Dave.
Said there, Mr. Manuk there. Okay, boys, final thoughts. We'll wrap it up and remind everybody that the post-game show with Sean Reynolds and our buddy Ken Weeb, they're both our buddies.
I think they're both right down there, right there.
They're just down the in the press box with you, or are they?
No, they probably just did a post-game live hit. So my guess is that they're in the Budweiser Lounge right now.
Well, there you go. So there you go.
Dave,
so after we're done, go check out the post game show with Sean Reynolds and Ken Weeb, the Kenny and Rennie post game show. That'll be starting up momentarily. If it hasn't already started, we do encourage you to go check that out. And of course, a reminder, we'll be back Friday night. Good Friday. Will it be a good Friday for the Winnipeg Jets? Time will tell. It might be a good Friday for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Time will tell. Good Friday, the post-game show, that should get started a little bit later than tonight. I believe it's a 7 o'clock puck drop on Friday, so post-game show right around 9:30, 9:35, somewhere around there, and Saturday morning, 9 a.m., the flagship program of Illegal Curve Hockey, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And we don't know what's happening, as I mentioned, with the Sunday game or the Tuesday game. If I was a betting man right now, I would say that it's unlikely the Winnipeg Jets and the Vancouver Canucks are going to do battle on Sunday and Tuesday.
And you are a betting man.
I am a betting man. That's true. In fact, yeah. I won some money on the Elite Eight last night and nice. On Monday night as well. So,
You're an elite host, Drew, so that makes sense, right?
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. Are you okay? Are you having a stroke?
Well, with the way I eat, it wouldn't be a surprise.
No, that's true. That would be a heart attack more likely, but in either event, don't go towards the light, Mr. Ginsburg. But in any event, the Winnipeg Jets might end up having 6 days off or so after Friday's game against the Leafs if Vancouver is put on a COVID shutdown, and we should know more, I would assume, from the NHL in the next 24 to 48 hours on that front. Okay, give me a final thought, wrap it up, and then we'll let everyone get on their way for this this Wednesday evening.
Yeah, the Jets are going to have an answer for the Matthews, Marner, Hyman line guys. And obviously, Scheifele, Connor, and Ehlers, they were excellent. Again, obviously, the goals didn't necessarily, come like they would want. But, that line is going to have to step it up. And, the Jets are going to have to be sharper, especially in that opening frame. I thought the second and third periods were pretty good. And, the game wasn't necessarily as bad as some people might think, or if you didn't watch the game and you just saw the score. So you're going to have to find a way to, get some more traffic in front, use some of that depth scoring. We saw Kopp, Lowry, and Appleton, score a lot of goals actually on that 7-game road trip, but they're going to have to, make it more difficult for Jack Campbell because he's undefeated. So that's what I'm looking for on Friday night.
Dave Minuk.
Well, and the one thing I would say if I'm the Winnipeg Jets is you got to throw everything at the wall. If you think, and you'll probably have a very good idea by Friday, whether those games are playing or whether you have a little break to allow your players to heal and rest up, talk about an opportunity to really just kind of leave it all out there and take it to the Toronto Maple Leafs and make a statement. Again, like I said, it wasn't as if the Leafs dominated from minute one to the final buzzer. So it wasn't like you were embarrassed on your home ice in front of your fans, obviously no fans, but at the same time, you still want to first of all, you don't want to have that big gap. You don't want to allow Edmonton, Montreal to overtake you. So it's one of those situations where you're sitting there going, you want to keep adding points to the standing banks and you want to make a statement. So you don't have to come out and it's not season on the line sort of situation. I just think you're in a position to say, we have the ability to just, like I said, leave it all out there. Because if you're going to have a time frame, when would the next game be after the Vancouver series? I think
they head out to Montreal next Thursday. So 8 days from today, they head out to Montreal for, I believe, a 2-game series and then to Toronto after that and maybe Ottawa. So
they'd have about 5 days off between,
Yeah, they'd have the let me put it this way. They'd have the longest break they've had all season.
Right. And so and the nice thing also is the Moose are in town. Right now, and the Moose are actually on a break for about a week. They don't play again until next Wednesday, I don't think. So the truth is that if you need a player, you've got players here in Manitoba that you can recall if needed, that have just played games for the Manitoba Moose. So you've got guys who are fresh and have jump in their step, and Christian Dasilainen, David Gustafson, whatever you need, you can really get from the Manitoba Moose if you need it. But the point is that, like I said, If you're the Winnipeg Jets, it's an opportunity to really kind of make a statement and know that you're going to have some rest to come after that.
And on that note, we say thank you to everybody who's joined us in the chat on YouTube and all of our social media feeds for watching the post-game show. Dave Minuk is at the arena. We'll let him get home safe and sound. Ezra Ginsburg is in someone's basement. We're never quite sure where that is. I am your host, Drew Mandel. We thank you all so much for joining us. Remember, Friday night about 9:30 with the post-game show. While you're still here in the room, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit the reminder button, hit all the buttons, subscribe to the podcast as well. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, and Boston Pizza. For Dave Minuk, for Ezra Ginsburg, I am your host, Drew Mandel. Until Friday at around 9:30 p.m., we wish you good night and good luck.